This is Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Along with David Farrow, my producer, who and you can talk to him, who's an expert in certain kinds of material, like in Mac and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, I'm on the other end of it, but that's okay. We have choices, and that's thanks God. So many times we have choices. Anyway, here we go. And his website is www.david, that's David, at creativegoose.com. Don't forget the E's on the end of David, the E on the end of goose, and .com. And we're continuing to have Edie on all of the wonderful things going on in the Bay Area. And that gives me a little rest for my throat before we do with the rest of the program. Anyway, our numbers are 1-415-808-5600. And here is Edie.
Good morning, everybody. Here we go. Oh, and the website's doing really, really well. We're getting visitors from all over the world.
Really?
Yeah. Russia, China. I don't know if those are bots or what, but... But also some local people and all the way into Oregon and stuff like that, which is really cool. That website is Bob Tanum, www.bobtanum.com. B-A-O-B-T as in Tom, A-N-E-M. All right, so if you didn't hear that, that's okay, but we're good. Okay, so I did want to mention that Sweet Pea Nursery every weekend has a fair farmer's market. On 9 to 2 on Saturdays. They are located in Vacaville at 891 Alamo, Alamo Drive. And there's on our website, there's a new little video that we put through where Bob was doing a live radio feed there at Sweet Pea Nursery.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found that on YouTube and hooked it up to the website as well. So you can take a look at that, which is kind of fun, kind of see what Bob used to be able to do when he was in person doing the show. It's really fun. You can call them if you want more information on how to get there. 707-474-9807. 707-474-9807. 92 on Saturdays in Vacaville. Okay, that was it for that one. Okay, let's see here. Just try to remember the date. Okay, Easter weekend, Bees and Blooms will open up for the season. They're located in Santa Rosa on 3883 Petaluma Hill Road. They are an organic, 11-acre organic farm selling cut flowers and lavender and pollinator-friendly trees and honeybees as well, in case you wanted to get a good source for starting your own hive. So that's fun. They're located 3883 Petaluma Hill Road. And also, you can call them at 707-293-8293. 707-293-8293. The spring 2021 plant swap at Filoli. Go to Eventbrite for tickets, so you'll need to make sure you have a ticket for that. It is also sponsored by the Seed and Soul Club of San Francisco, and this is happening April 24th, starting at 9:30. You can give Filoli a call about all sorts of events coming up at 650-364-8300. That's 650-364-8300. And they're located at 86 Kenyatta Road in Woodside. That sounds like fun. All right. Got that. Oh, yeah. And if you know somebody who is a garden person at a school, but also in San Francisco and San Mateo counties, please let them know that there is a class on how to teach gardening, which is limited to only 25 residents. Hopefully they'll film it as well. That's taking place April 13th, but you need to sign up. So you can email SM for San Mateo, SF for San Francisco, SMSFMG, Master Gardeners, .schoolgarden@gmail.com. So that's SMSFMG.schoolgarden@gmail.com. All right, that sounds like fun. So if you know somebody who's going to be teaching, that would be great. March 31st, coming this week at 7:30 p.m. at Meadowlands Garden Tour. This is online on YouTube. And this is given by Christoph Kominski. And this is for the California Native Plant Society of Santa Clara Valley. It is a private residential garden, this woodlands garden, in San Jose. It has native and exotic and drought-tolerant plants with over 300 species, etc., and cultivars. So I don't really have good information on how to get there, but go to YouTube and then look for Meadowlands Garden Tour. And that March 31st, I'll also put the date, or go to cnpssantaclaravalley.com. That's California Native Plant Society, santaclaravalley.com, to find out more information. All right, now, let's see, April 7th. This is also Santa Clara Valley, California Native Plant Society. Santa Clara Valley is having a talk on plant pollinators for native plants, and that's happening April 7th at 7:30. So look for that at the same website, which is, I've got it, www.cnps_scv.org. All right. Also, always ongoing classes, etc., at the UC Botanical Garden. Contact garden programs at berkeley.edu for more information. That's garden programs at berkeley.edu, or call them at 510-664-7606. 510-664-7606. And April 7th, Summer Garden Soil Prep, Center for Agroecology and Sustainable Food Systems, which is the farm that's associated with the UC Santa Cruz, and they're having a webinar about soil prep. And you can call them for more information and upcoming classes at 831-459-3240, 831-459-3240. You could also go to their website at CASFS.UCSC.edu. Remember, this is UC Santa Cruz, and they have their website. So Alameda is having Edible Gardening Basics. Again, it's a Zoom class, April 10th. So more on that coming up. Ruth Bancroft Garden is having a webinar that you get tickets at ruthbancroftgarden.org. And that's about striking succulents, starting 10 a.m. on Saturday. You can call for more information, 925-944-9352. That's 925-944-9352. All right, I'm done boring you. Here you go.
All right, okay, here we go. Hey, we've got Bob in Napa. Hi there, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Longtime listeners and love your show.
Well, I love your name, too. It gets around a lot fast.
Yeah, great name, huh? But we have a 20-year-old Gravenstein that gets professionally pruned every year. And it does great, grows lots of good apples. But I've applied one coat of liquid copper a while back. I'm wondering if I can apply another coat and if and when I can put the beneficial nematodes.
I would put them out right now in the late afternoon, okay? As soon as you get them. I think they're still available, and they should be refrigerated, I hope.
They're in the fridge right now.
Okay. I would do it maybe, late this afternoon, when the sun's not out. It's going to be a beautiful day if you like clear, nice weather without rain. I'm a little concerned about the lack of rain. Yeah, right. All right, Bob. But I would put them out. Apples don't really require an awful lot of copper, but right after they're, you do it right after you prune them, and I think that's mostly sufficient. It's apricots.
Okay. That sounds perfect. That was my plan, and then you confirmed it, so I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
There you go, and thanks for listening, Bob. And here we go, Bob in Sebastopol. Hi there, Bob.
I'm getting confused.
Don't be.
Bob, I want to know, I'll be as brief as I can. What is the difference between first-year wood and second-year wood on a fruit tree? And some fruit trees will produce fruit on a first-year wood, and some will go to second-year wood. Now, what I'm getting confused about that, so can you straighten me out?
I think everybody's confused on that. First of all, second-year wood will have more little spurs, fruit spurs, okay? First year wood probably won't have more than maybe about 10% of them will be fruit spurs. My recommendation, this is really it, depending on the weight of the fruit, I usually just cut back the previous year's growth 50%. Some people tell me they can cut that all off so they keep the tree really sort of dwarfed. I have mixed emotions about that.
Okay. The other question related was, do peaches grow on first year wood or second year wood? Do apples grow on first year, second? How does that work?
Apples are on the second year wood. They will bloom on the first year, and depending on the bee activity, they will produce on the new wood as well. Okay. This is the reason that apples have a certain amount of weight, and that's the reason that I suggest that perhaps you cut the new growth back 50%.
That's what I do. And the peach trees, I just shape the way I want, and I go with the best I can, you know.
There you go.
You shape them the way I want and hope for the best.
That's pretty much it. Actually, if you just follow the directions of cut the last season's growth back 50%, take a look at the tree, cut out the crosswoods and all that kind of stuff, and then look at it, and maybe if depending on the amount of weight the tree can anticipate, like Rio Oso Gem peaches weigh about a pound a piece, so you're going to have to cut a lot back or a lot more. But if it's a nectarine, you don't have to prune that much, okay?
One more quickie, Bob. I grafted the peach tree. How soon will I know if the graft is taking or not?
6 weeks to 10 weeks after you graft it. It'll sprout.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, I'm waiting yet. But that's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you've got a while, you know. And I wouldn't jump at it until after the middle of June.
Yeah, we'll know for sure next year.
You got it. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Love the name. You take care. Pamela and all those wonderful people, just hang on. Our numbers, if you'd like to join us, are 1-415-808-5600. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Hi. It's Willows, but that's okay.
Willows.
Okay. I know where Willows is. I'll bet 90% of the Californians don't know. Well, 90% of them are all imported from New York, so what the heck? Willows,
true,
hi there. I know that. How can I help you?
My daughter called me and said, you know what, her husband, she doesn't call him her husband, but said that...
You want to run back at me? I'm not into relationships like this.
I'm in a different planet this morning.
Okay.
So
I can understand that.
It happens. He has a mandarin tree, I guess, and they fertilized it, and he just pummeled it with water. So the next day, they didn't know that it was going to rain for a couple of days in a row. So she said she went out and she looked at the leaves and they were, you know, kind of like a peachy curly type thing. And she goes, Mom, what do you think? Do you think I killed it? Did I kill it? And I thought, I'm not sure, but let me call Bob. So
there we go. We finally got to the question. Okay. Pam, I think
it. Sorry, God.
Don't be sorry. It adds to the flavor of the program, didn't you know that?
It's hard when you go off on something like that, and then you're kind of like out of your body, and you can hear yourself talking and talking. You want to slap yourself to bring yourself back. You know, it's weird. But I'm back.
Are you back? Okay, good. Now, as I understand it, you live in Willows. Your daughter-in-law or daughter, whatever, and they watered a tree. So you think the tree was overwatered. Do you know what kind of tree it was?
It's a mandarin. It's a mandarin, and it's 2 years old.
Oh, citrus.
Yes.
Ah, and how old is it?
2 years.
Oh, okay. And what's happening with it?
She said the leaves started going, you know, weird, like something like a, I don't know, curling up a little bit, like a peachy curl type thing.
Well, that could be something different.
But it happened right after it rained, and he, you know, soaked it with water. Could that happen when you overwater?
Yeah, of course. But you would see some, the leaves would have turned yellow before they curled. So there's something else going on there. So I want her to look at the leaf itself and look and see if there's any little tiny pathways in the leaf that's curled. If there are, that's the citrus minor, leaf minor. And that's a totally different thing.
Okay.
And if it is, you can email me about, because there is, you know, Seabright Labs carries a blue sticky card that will eliminate the problem. I had that problem on my Swiss chard this spring, and I put out my blue sticky cards, and they're gone.
Oh, very good. Cool.
Okay.
That sounds great. Sorry, my name's not Bob, but anyway.
Oh, bibbidi bobbidi boo this morning, I'll tell you. Well, my name is Bob, and then there was Bob from Napa and Bob from Sebastopol.
So happy everybody was calling you Bob, and then I went, oh, God, maybe I shouldn't call.
Well, I like the name because it's spelled the same backwards and forwards. Okay? All right.
Well, I like the name because I really love you, so thank
you. Well, thank you. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Eventually, Ann, we're going to get to you. Hey, hi there, Ann. This is Bob. Yes?
Hello?
Ann?
Yeah.
Hello,
oh, yes.
Ann. There we go.
We had a full moon, and I was wondering if it's time to set out my spindly little tomato plants. I started some Roma tomatoes from seed in my south-facing window, but they're very spindly, and I was wondering if that was due to the refraction in the double-paned windows.
Any
event, is it time to set them out?
Have they been outside at all, Pam? Ann?
Well, I set them out.
Your name isn't Bob.
No.
Okay.
Aunt Cecilia. Okay. I've been setting them out on the patio table during the day, but then the temperature in Castro Valley has been maybe 45 when I wake up, so I wasn't sure how low it's been getting.
Yeah, and I think what you need to do, okay, I would wait a week. Okay, this is, in Easter week, so what I would do, I would start putting them outside right now, actually, until night, and then bring them back in. And then right after Easter, I would put them in the ground, and by then I think we'll have warmer ground. What you can do to, you know, if they're spindly or something like that, plant them deeper so you only see them at first 2 to 3 leaves on top.
Whoa, that deep.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, they'll be nice and warm.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's
the
secret. Because you're not the only one that has spindly tomato plants at this time of the year. And that's because of the funny weather and the cool nights and stuff like that. So I think the ground by the end of the week will be warmer. And I think by then you can plant them in the ground, and I think you want to plant them deeper. If you're worried about the temperature of the ground, you can cover the area where you're going to plant them with black plastic temporarily during the day, and it'll heat up the ground.
Oh.
Okay?
Huh.
How about that?
Sounds unfoolable.
It sounds like a plan, okay? So it'll work, all right?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann. You take care. Let's go to Dave in Walnut Creek. Hi there, Dave.
Hi, Bob. Got a problem with some grevillea. They're turning yellow, and I'm told that it's a phosphate problem in the soil. Can you give me some guidance on
how old are the plants, Dave? How old are they?
Oh, they're probably 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
They've been getting sicker and yellower looking every year.
So they've been successful for 2 or 3 years?
Well, success is, it depends on how you define success.
They've been green or green as they ever get?
They started turning yellow, and they've managed to survive, but no thanks to me.
Okay, probably you planted them too deep initially. So, but that's okay, because they survived that. What I would do is cultivate around the ground. Yes, I would give them, something like an all-purpose organic fertilizer, like tree and shrub, plant food, something on that order. You need a balance.
I was looking at something called seaweed mash or something.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a good one.
And what I'm looking for, I think, now you're the expert, so I don't want to put words in your mouth,
which
I won't, but the middle digit in fertilizers is phosphate, I'm told. So I'm looking for something that's got a zero or a low number in that middle digit.
Why would you want a low number there?
Well, what I've read, and I only know what I've read, is that they're Grevillea are native of Australia, and they're a different type of soil, and they're sensitive to excess amounts of phosphate in the soil in which they're planted.
Oh, I don't think there's a problem. Ignore it, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, use the seaweed material, and I think you'll be fine.
How about...
Also, here's another thought. Cultivate around the soil before you put the fertilizer on.
I was going to ask you about that. Are there any gypsum soil softening products that you would recommend?
No.
Oh, okay. Stay away from that. Just cultivate.
No, just do what I told you to do. Just cultivate around the plants. Put the fertilizer around. Now, keep in mind, Grevillea have a finite life of about 12 to 14 years.
Well, I can squeeze a few more years out of them. I don't think. Well, they're midlife.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of like me.
Well, they're having a midlife crisis. we all know what that is. Oh, yeah, well, never mind. I'm not here. I'm not your psychologist.
better class of car to drive.
There you go. All right, Dave. But follow those instructions. I think you'll be fine. And you'll get a few more years out of them, and that'll be rewarding. You know, they're very nice plants, okay? Well, okay, Cheryl, Linda, and Gary, we're going to take a little break right now and get right back to your calls, and we'll be right back after this. Bob Tatum here in the garden. Talk Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tatum in the garden on Talk Radio 560.
Hi there, Cheryl.
Hey, good morning, Bob. 2 weeks ago, you were talking with a guy about... getting rid of oxalis.
Yeah.
And still working for my neighbor. She has hummingbird fuchsia, and I've cut it back because it was so long and woody, but there's still a bit of oxalis in there. I've actually reduced it about 80% over the past year and two.
Okay.
But I've still got some tenacious in there.
Sure.
Now, a lot of the hummingbird is reseeding itself because I've cleaned up everything underneath. But so I don't want to kill what's growing, but I also want to get rid of the oxalis that's in there. And
okay.
I thought you had said something about dipping a cloth.
Mm-hmm. In Roundup. Yeah.
In Roundup.
There's two things. One, don't let it go to bloom ever.
Okay. Yeah. I've been actually deadheading it. Heading it before it blooms as much
that's
as
great.
Possible.
Okay.
Okay.
And two, what I've recommended on the these difficult situations with weeds, including oxalis, is to do a solution of Roundup and put a plastic thing on your hand or plastic glove, then a cotton glove, and then dip your fingers into the material of the Roundup and rub the foliage.
Oh, okay.
and that will get in there and kill most of it. It may or may not get the bulb. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. Well, I had told her that you had said that it was like a 5 to 7 year process.
There and you I mean, go.
two, 3 years ago, her front and backyard was just covered with it, and there's Boy. Hardly any this year. So
That's
I've
great.
Been being
Congratulations.
Real vigilant with it. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
Well, I'm nothing if not tenacious, yeah.
Cheryl, it's a, as I say, I used to flippantly say, find a real estate operator. So,
yeah, I know. But
that's another story. So,
yeah,
Cheryl.
No, it's actually worked.
Yep, it does.
I appreciate your help on that. Thanks.
Well, okay. Well, thank you for listening. That's amazing. Okay, let's go to Linda. Linda is in Dublin. Hi there.
Hi there, Bob. Nice to hear you always.
Thank you.
Bob, I have a Benjamina tree. It's outside. It's not real full, but, you know, it's doing okay. But I see at the end of the leaves, they're dry. Is there something I could spray on it or put in the soil? It's in a pot.
Not really. Are the leaves tips burning or something like that?
They just look dry, and usually the leaves are pretty green and nice.
But, oh, okay.
It's in a big container, and
Oh, okay, it's in a container. You didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long has it been in the container?
Oh, it's been about 12 years.
Okay. It needs to be repotted, but if it's too heavy or whatever to repot, what I would do is to mix a solution of hydrogen peroxide half and half with water and water the plant with that.
Okay, so... Okay, hydrogen peroxide one half and water one half. So maybe a gallon will do, and probably 2 gallons.
That'll work.
Yeah. Okay. And let's see, Bob. Let's see, what were they doing? Let's see, bark, bark. Oh yeah, these ants outside crawling around on the ground especially when I water.
Uh-huh.
Is there something I could spray on my tree?
Okay, answer, totally different thing than what you came on, and that's fine. But ants in the ground and they're not in the house or they're just in the garden, they're no big problem unless they're climbing into the plants and depositing aphid in the roses or scale on the citrus and stuff like that. But if they're just in the ground crawling around, I wouldn't worry about them.
If they go onto the tree, a green ash or... ash tree, should I just put anything on that or just let them be?
I think, well, if you have a problem with a large tree or something like that, I would put tangled foot around the base of the tree.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
That'll keep them out of the tree, okay?
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Bob. Have a happy Easter if I don't talk to you then.
Okay, well, everybody, I'll be here on Easter Sunday. Along with whoever shows up. Anyway, Linda, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Bill in Round Rock, Texas. Hi there, Bill.
Hi. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. My name is not Bob.
It starts with a B, so you're 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah, and it's not Neil either. So,
it's Bill. I know Bill.
The old Neil and Bob jokes came to mind.
Never mind. Anyway, I know what those are. All right. It's your nickel. Let's get on with it. Hey, how did you survive in the cold weather, Bill?
Well, that's gone. It's come and gone. I mean, it was brutal. And I think I sent you some pictures from my front yard, but the things that survived in the root level seem to be coming back.
Okay.
I lost some. God, I had these cedars from up at Cedar Ridge near Nevada City for like 10 years in some pots that are like bonsai type trees that didn't make it. I didn't bring them in. But a lot of things are opening up. But one of the things I wanted to mention for the listeners, and I've never heard you talk about them, so I'm not sure if they work in the Bay Area, but. You know, we don't see much in the way of the flowering cherries or plums or anything so much out here, but they've got a tree out here called the redbud tree.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with those?
Yes, I am. There's two kinds. One is native to California. The other one is an import from east someplace. That was the most popular
one.
Eastern
Redbud.
Yeah, Eastern Redbud, yes.
Well, I tell you what, if that's a tree that works in the Bay Area, I mean, you know, the plums and the cherries and all, beautiful, but these things are way, the color is just way more vivid.
Yeah.
So if anybody can put their hands on an Eastern Redbud tree, I would give it a try. It's a really a pretty tree.
Yeah, they are, and they survive here, and they do very well. Many people don't know what they are.
Why you don't see a lot of them in the Bay Area?
They're not. There's a lot of trees that aren't seen in the Bay Area that are from all over the world. And in California, of course, we have just about everything that will, and many of those, like even jacaranda, that will survive in the Bay Area that won't survive in the rest of the world. So, yeah, there's a lot of trees we get away with, but and there's such a big plethora of things you can plant here that they just don't get into the list sometimes. Although at my New Beginnings garden, we have about 14 of them, and they're beautiful.
The red buds?
Uh-huh. Eastern redbud.
Yeah, God. And I just Googled them, and there's actually a yellow one, too, that I've yet to see here. But the rising sun redbud looks pretty cool.
Oh, really? A yellow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Haven't seen that one.
Well,
all right.
Great talking with you as usual. And
well, I'm glad you got through that big cold snap. That was, did you have to squeeze the windmills or whatever they're called out there? Never mind. All right, Bill.
I was out in the West Texas, but you know what I did do like a fool? I took this old pair of skis and I was wearing my hiking boots and I put them down in the lawn out front and I said, "Hey, Tony, video this for me, okay?" And she got the video and I skied down the front lawn across the sidewalk and down the curb. And because I didn't have ski boots on, I fell backwards and smacked my head on the asphalt.
You survived. That's okay.
It was a perfect America's Funniest Home Video kind of moment. So anyway.
Okay. All right. All right, Bill. Thank you.
Have a good one. Right on.
Good. Right. Let's you do. Gary is in Castro Valley. Hi there, Gary.
Good morning, Bob. So a couple of weeks ago, you talked about soaking seeds in hydrogen. Peroxide.
Yeah.
Is that a straight 3% mix, or you mix it with water, or what's
No, that's a straight 3% mix, and you do it overnight and plant the next day.
Yeah, I read something online about soaking a paper towel and wrapping them in that for overnight.
That will work, sure. Uh-huh.
Okay. The next thing, if I'm going to give you another question here, is I have raised beds, and I prep my beds with adding chicken manure, as you suggested a few weeks ago when I called. Can I plant there? It's organic. It's the E.B. Stone organic chicken manure. Can I plant in that right away, or there's nothing to burn the seeds?
No. E.B. Stone's product, especially their chicken manure, has been composted, and it's not heat-producing, so I think you're fine without any problem.
Do I need to wait for warmer weather, or is it pretty? It seems like it's pretty warm now, or is that'll do it?
Well, I would do it the middle of this week would probably work. I'm not going to plant until after the day after Easter. Then I'll go wild. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. You take care, Gary. All right. We'll be right back. So, Rob, George, Henry, and George, this is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Radio 560 KSFO. Bob Tanum here in your garden. Let's go to Rod. Rod is in Oakland. Hi there, Rod.
Well, hi, Bob.
I'm Bob. You're Rob. We don't have any more Bobs on the... Never mind. This is getting crazier every day.
Yeah.
Okay. How can I help you?
There was a lady on your show last week that gave the name of a product to keep rats away, and I didn't get the name of it. I wonder if you have it.
Yes, I do. It's called Fels Naphtha. I don't know how to spell it. Yeah, I don't know how to. I jumped.
F-E-L-S.
Naphtha. N-A-P-A. Yeah. Fels. Yeah.
Naphtha.
Fels Naphtha. In case you can't find it, use Irish Spring.
Okay. Irish Spring. And can you get the Fels Naphtha at a garden center?
No. You'd have to go. I think a drugstore would have it. If you can't see it on the shelves, ask the druggist, perhaps. You know, I haven't talked about Fels Naphtha soap for years, but I used it many, many times whenever I was in a situation where I was digging out poison oak or something like that. It is a oil stripper like you can't believe.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll try and find it. Does Irish Spring keep rats away?
Yeah. I use it under my house all the time.
Okay, I'll try that. Well, I just love your show, Bob. And
all right.
I'll keep listening.
Rod, I'm surprised. You have three letters in your name just like I have. And it's not B-O-B, it's R-O-D. Okay. Hey, that rhymed. Oh, my goodness sake. We can't do that. All right.
Thanks,
Rod. You take care. Let's go to Gary in Los Altos. Gary, how are you?
Oh, just fine. I wanted to ask you about something digging holes in my lawn. And the holes are about 2.5 inches in diameter, not much dirt around them, and next to a row of lantana. And I'm looking out my window, I noticed a little animal, looked like a miniature pot-bellied pig, go dashing out. Sometimes they dive in the hole, sometimes they go back under the lantana. And the lantana is kind of sick. And I was wondering, what kind of animal could this be? And I've looked at the computer, and the only thing I could see was, is that a vole? And I've never heard of that being around me or here. So what do you think?
Okay, if it's a little tiny hole and it looks like an inverted funnel, that would be a skunk. And if you don't smell skunk, then I consider that it is a vole, which you could say is a field mice, or was the other name for it. We never used to call it, but it could be a field mouse or something on that. Or what you do is put out a mouse trap.
Mouse trap. It looked like to me I had a bunch of them.
Well, put out two.
Voles
multiply. And so
They said that multiple litters a year. So yep. I've got to get rid of them because it just really was pockmarking my lawn.
Oh, you can't have that. I mean, especially if you want to. No, never mind, Gary.
Are they plant eaters? Do they eat roots?
No, they eat plants. They eat the tops.
Eaters. So they, because I noticed the lantana had a lot of dead foliage on it and stuff like that. So I figured something must be after it.
Well, lantana doesn't look particularly good at this time of the year. Normally, we have. What color is the lantana?
It's purple.
Oh, okay. That's the hard one. The hardiest one. So you're fine with that, Gary. I think you'll be great. But you have voles, V-O-L-S, field mice.
Okay.
It's an easier term for it. Okay.
But you'd recommend trapping them. There's no magic organic pesticide to use.
No. Not that I would consider safe. Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. You take care. All right. Let's go to Kathleen with a K. Hi there in Sebastopol. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Bob, and glad you're doing well, too. I'm the caller last week that wanted to compliment you for the Fels Naphtha. I wanted to give you the spelling of that soap and where to find it.
All right.
It's Fels, that's F like Frank, E-L-S, dash, Naphtha. N like Nancy, A-P-T-H-A.
Oh, Fels, great.
Naphtha. And you can find it at most grocery stores. It's usually down near the ground level. It's not a high, I think it's not a product that sells in volumes. But it'll be in the laundry detergent area because it used to be what people often hand wash their clothes with.
Yeah. I remember that. I remembered. I never really remembered what it was for, other than I did use it whenever I was digging up poison oak or something like that as a shower.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, yes. And that's right. When you're working in the garden, you've been in poison oak. That's a favorite soap to use because it removes the oil from the poison oak that gets.
No, that it really strips the skin. You can, and it will keep rats and mice away. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob, I wanted to mention some other device or a product that I've just found phenomenal for pests in general, whether it's deer or squirrels, even blue jays that we don't always want. It's a product made by Bird X is the name of the company.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a Transonic Pro electronic pest chaser. And it has these multiple settings for the different animals that you're trying to chase away, even including small insects and things. You plug it in, you set it to whatever animal it is you're trying to keep away. And I've had phenomenal success with the different sound levels that are provided for the, you know, whatever wildlife I'm trying to keep away. They're expensive. They're about $50 a piece. And it's worth every penny.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't heard about that. I know Bird X is a material you cover plants and stuff like that for. I hadn't thought that they might have a different kind of product. I guess I can go online and find out. Okay. That's great information.
Yes. And you will also find that there are other.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.